You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, beginning verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country, and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahu. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
All right. Looks like we got it going. Well, it's good to be in the pulpit again, and come Monday, we start our semester. Fall semester begins. So everything's firing up. And we've got online courses. We've got courses that are partially online and some that are Zoom courses. So we're really going. And I'm also preparing fully online courses. So I've got to put about 10 hours per week creating a course. And so I'm a busy chappy, very busy this semester. And on one occasion, I've got to give a talk every second Thursday from 7 to 8:30 to students. So it's all kind of mixing up, doing different things. So it's quite fun. Now, this particular time, I'm going to start with the series on Proverbs. And I'm really looking forward to getting into it, so we'll give a bit of an introduction to it and why it's important and some of the issues that relate to it. I got this idea originally from Reuben, who's going to a church down there in College Station, and they've just concluded a study on Proverbs. And I looked at some of the things they did, and I thought, oh, that's quite interesting. But we'll come from quite a different perspective of right division. And I think there's going to be some things in here that will be a great blessing to us. Well, let's start with a word of prayer. God and Father, we thank thee for today, Lord, and all that thou hast given us in Jesus. And we think of all that has transpired through the years, the difficulties we face as a nation, Lord. And we ask that we'd see leaders that would be raised up, considering especially the wisdom that can be found in the scriptures and specifically here in Proverbs. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Proverbs. What a great book it is. And by the way, just before we move on, you notice there's a Greek word here, Sophia. And then down here, another Hebrew word, which is the Hebrew word for wisdom, which we'll put up here in English, chokmah. That's the Hebrew word which is for wisdom. And that word is used down here in the Old Testament in a number of places. The Sophia is used in the New Testament in these places. And I've highlighted some of the passages that I want to consider in relationship to this word. But first of all, just go back to the book of Exodus and look at chapter 28. And I really want to motivate this whole thing by considering a few ideas. And then we can sort of get some perspective and justification for looking at this study. And I had certain basic assumptions as I've gone through my life about Proverbs, what it means. And I'm looking at it again and trying to dig into the scriptures to get a far more biblical and right divisional view of it. So this is Exodus 28, verse 1. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, chokmah, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. So here the wisdom is really attuned to skill in how to make these garments. Skill. Practical things. Quite practical. So it's an understanding. You can see, of course, these artificers and all these people who are involved with making things with their hands, they had to have knowledge. But here what they're doing is they're using this knowledge in a very specific way with a skill, and it's very practical. If you look across to chapter 31, verse 1 of Exodus, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. So certainly understanding is there, and wisdom is related to understanding and knowledge, but it has to do here specifically with how it is put into workmanship. And there are more passages where you can see that this is the case. People who could work with their hands and chip away at things and make woodwork and all sorts of stuff like that. So that's kind of interesting. Now, the part that I want to look at, though, to give us some pointed view of why we should study this topic, it comes from Paul's statements in Ephesians. Have a look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 8. We'll start from verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So there's a purpose which he has in himself. And this relates to, in part, this wisdom. Now, come across to another place. Have a look down at verse 17. It says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Notice a part of this prayer. Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. What's interesting is when you go back into the book of Proverbs, you find this manifestation of spirit in a metaphor of a woman. Now, when you come to metaphors using women in the Bible, they're used in various ways. Sometimes, not good. Sometimes. Sometimes a strange woman. You'll find this. Sometimes the woman which is immoral. The mother of harlots, etc. So they're used variously. But when it comes to this picture of wisdom, the scriptures use that metaphor of a woman. And it's very, very interesting, this chokmah. Very interesting. And it says here, the Father glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. The prayer involves this wish that the spirit would be given by the Father to people, that they would have this wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. And then coming down a little bit further, look at chapter 3 and verse 10, we'll read from verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship, the thing that we have in common of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent, to this intent, you see, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known. So this is interesting, because now we've got a little bit of a connection with our previous study. Be known by the church, the instrumentality of the church. The church is the instrument by which this will take place. The, look at this, manifold wisdom of God. The manifold wisdom of God. Notice up here, this is the word, polupoikilos. Polupoikilos. The manifold wisdom, and here you can see, hey, Sophia, to you. The wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. It's manifold. Manifold. It's got many parts to it. And it carries on and says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. According to a purpose of the ages. Literally. According to a purpose of the ages. Just translating it literally. A purpose of the ages. Wait a minute. So there is a manifold wisdom of God. Right? And the church is to be the instrument by which this manifold wisdom of God is to be made known unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. This just blows you out of the seat. When you really come to understand this, what's being stated here, this is according to a purpose that God has had of the ages. Okay. So, down here I've got some questions. This, poikilos, manifold. It's got all these sides to it. Sides, many, many sides to this wisdom. What are the many sides to this wisdom? What are they? What is wisdom? What is it? How does wisdom differ from understanding? How can Proverbs help? These are some of my questions that I've posed, and I want to try and address them. Now, we can't address them all now. What we're going to do is we're going to dig into this study. And you notice here, I've taken this straight out of the Companion Bible, which is a fantastic book that you need to get. Most of it was put together by Bullinger, but not completely, because he didn't complete it in his lifetime. And others finished it off. But tremendous notes. And the notes here really are about language and structure. And they're about connecting up with things like metaphors and similes and figures of speech such as those. But they are really useful. I mean, I find them useful. Very useful. For example, here at the front here, title, the Proverbs. Mishlai, Greek, paroimiai, any dark, sententious saying, the Vulgate, proverbia, from which we get proverbs. Hebrew, mishlai, is from mashal, to rule, hence applied to words which are to rule and govern the life, not a collection of human wisdom, but of divine rules from heaven for earth. But there are issues related to this, which you no doubt have had to come to face with. If you're a parent, you no doubt have had to face this issue. Go across to Proverbs 22. Have a look at this. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. You know, this is used, right? And verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Okay? So that's the responsibility of the parents. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, how's it going? How's it going? Well, if you're going to be honest with you with this, you're going to have to say, well, didn't quite work with that one. Didn't quite work over here. So what's going on here? Is the Bible failing? What is wrong here? Is there nothing wrong? Well, I don't believe there's anything wrong, but it's got to do with wisdom literature. Wisdom literature. And the wisdom literature you'll find in the scriptures basically coming to us in the form of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Job. So what you find here is the Proverbs, which give you the general rule, which will be what we need to do. It's the general thing which will work. Mostly. It's a general idea that we've got to do, and in general it will work. But there are specifics that do not work. And where do we find those specifics that do not work? Well, you find them written here and here. How was Job? Well, he's a righteous man. But what happened to him? Man, he copped it. Didn't he? He copped it. And along the way, he messed up a little bit with how he reacted to what happened to him. But in the end, he was given the double, right? He was given the double. So over here you've got the general rule, and then over here you've got specifics that may in some cases not quite work with the general. So the Bible gets it covered. But you have to look at this whole idea and address this structure of wisdom literature, and so that you can get what's being taught here. Now, as I say, this companion Bible is very good on this. And I'll just point out a few things here. This was put out by the Bible Project. You find this online. I've got this linked here. And it's really good as far as giving you an idea of what the book of Proverbs is like and how that it is broken down into these areas. 10 speeches from a father to a son in this area. The moral logic of Proverbs. Now, you can't see this very well. It's a little bit difficult to read. But I'm just pointing out some helps along the way. So here, this is how wisdom is used in Proverbs. It's very, very commonly used. And you've got these chapters 1 through 31. In the back of the companion Bible, there is an appendix, number 74, which is quite a lengthy appendix, and it goes through the background to this wisdom literature in relationship to Proverbs. Very good resource, which I've read through. Very good. And just before the book of Proverbs is the structure. Now, look at the structure, which is absolutely amazing. So you have 1:6 to 9:18, the words of the wise for Solomon, for a prince and a king. Second person, my son, thy, thee, thou, thine, the mother. Then coming down to the last one in the sequence, A, this covers chapters 30 and 31, the words of Agur and the words of Lemuel. Well, we don't really know who these people are. But they come in here. They get mentioned in here. For Solomon. for a prince and a king, my son, thy the mother. So you see this corresponding in the A's, right? And you notice it's for Solomon. For Solomon. For Solomon. That is a revelation that some of these things are specifically for Solomon. And then when you come down here into the sections B, there's subsection C and D, Proverbs, by Solomon, for all. Third person, he, his, him, they, them. D, Proverbs, for Solomon. You got by Solomon, for Solomon again. For a prince and a king. Second person, my son, thou, thy. Similarly in the corresponding B, Proverbs, by Solomon, for all, copied by the men of Hezekiah. Copied, you see, you get the idea that there's a process by which Proverbs was assembled, right? So it's not like you get Solomon writing out the book of Proverbs. No, not at all. No, no, this was assembled. Right? So that's another interesting feature. And down here in D, Proverbs for Solomon, for a prince and a king, second person, my son, thee and thy. An intricate correspondence and structure. The structure gives you the scope for what the book is about. Why do I like the Companion Bible? Because it attempts at least to see the literary structure, and the literary structure is a structure that simply is there in the text. It's not so much made by the person examining the book, but it's simply what is there. So I like that, because I think that's going to be an objective way in which we can enter into this and understand it. If you go back to 1 Kings and chapter number 4, look at this. It's an amazing thing about Solomon. So when you think about Solomon, okay, so he is a wise man, yet he messed up, didn't he? Big time with all these strange wives, right? He messed up and listened to them and he got off target. Think of David. What do you know about David? Well, he messed up. But David, the most notable thing about David is that when he was confronted with his sin, instead of killing the prophet, he melted. And when the prophet said to him, thou art the man, what did David do in response? Did he respond in absolute anger and I'm gonna kill? No. He realized, oh, this is a sin that I've committed. I take responsibility for it. And then you get Psalm 51 out of it. And that sin is before him every day. It's before him. And then you get the statement that David was a man after God's own heart. Ah! So now you can get something of the different components that make up the ideal man. And David is not the ideal man. Solomon is not the ideal man, but they each had certain components that we can learn from. I know that this Bible is inspired for many reasons, but one of them is because all the dirty linen is out there for you to look at. It doesn't make stuff up. It's believable in the sense of who we are as fallen human beings. It shows it. Gives me confidence about the advice we get there. So in 1 Kings 4, verse 1, it says, so King Solomon was king over all Israel. And these were the princes which he had. Azariah, the son of Zadok, the priest. Elihoreph and Ehiah, the sons of Shisha, scribes. Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, the recorder. Notice, you get all these jobs given here. And if you're if you're a leader of any kind, okay, this is the king, but if you're a leader of any kind, you're going to have subordinates who are supposed to work for you. They'll be given certain jobs. And man, you've got to be careful who you put in these jobs. And he goes down and describes all of these. And it's a great list as you go down. And then in verse 26, it says, and Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots. 40,000. Man, when you think about this nation of Israel, it got to a point under Solomon, man, it was some kingdom, man. This thing was huge. It was not to be trifled with. Now, if it was righteously looked after, it could use its power and its influence in a good way. And furthermore, other nations around about will say, well, I'm not going to mess with that nation because it's got the power, right? And certain of our leaders, presidents, saw this and used this as presidents of the USA, right? Good for the United States to be powerful, not to use it in the wrong way. And Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses. And verse 27, and those officers provided victual for King Solomon. Now watch this. And for all that came unto King Solomon's table, every man in his month, they lacked nothing. One of the places Seppi and I visited some time ago in Austria was the king's table there in Austria. And how many meals did he have, Seppi? 22. So, you know, how many? When he sat down for his evening meal, there was, you know, okay, there's the first lot, and there's another lot, and another lot after that, another lot after that, another lot after that. I mean, you can't really say you would eat on each of those, right? Because if you did, there's no way you could get through all the food. So it must be like, okay, okay, next. There's a fantastic amount of food. Barley also, and straw for the horses and dromedaries brought they unto the place where the officers were. Now here are the officers, right? These were the people that were given jobs. Every man according to his charge, they all had jobs. Everything was provided for, food enough. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Now that's something to say, because remember how we have come to understand this idea of wisdom, that it's got primarily a connection with the skill of doing things. And if you look at the wisdom of Egypt, if you've ever studied Egypt, in ancient Egypt, you've got to say, man, they had some wisdom. They had some skill in doing things. They were amazing people from that point of view. They're completely lost, and they had all these gods, and they were enslaved to these gods in many ways, but as far as their skill is concerned, man, they had it. But it says that Solomon's wisdom excelled that. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan, the Ezrahite, and Heman. I don't know who these are exactly. And Kelkol and Darada, the sons of Mahol. Notice these must be famous people of that era. And his fame was in all nations round about, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. He spake 3,000 proverbs. Wow. And his songs were 1,005. Wow. Talk about a Mozart. He came up with all these songs, with his wisdom. I used to have dreams of coming up with just one good song. You know what I'm saying? And he spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts. Notice, he had knowledge of all these things growing, all these different trees, beasts and fowl and of creeping things and of fishes. He knew about all these things. He studied these things. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So when you think about the wisdom of Solomon, do not simply think of his wise proverbs. No, I'm talking about as a scientist. Right? They would come to him to get his practical understanding of things related to horticulture, agriculture, and all these things. Because he had it, man. He had this chokmah. He had it. And people knew that he had it. And when you know that someone knows something and they could solve your problem, you're going to seek him out, man. And that's what the people in the ancient world did with Solomon. They looked for him. And it says, and there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom, which had heard of it. Therefore, my friends, since this is true, and since he was given this, it seems pretty sensible for us to investigate some of this wisdom that was given to him. Now, we may not be so interested in the trees and the fishes and things like that. We may be more interested in wisdom that is going to allow us not to mess up in this life and to be able to put in place ideas that in the future will bring forward good fruit. Good fruit. That's what we are interested in doing. And so, using this structure, we are going to do it. And we're going to go right through these chapters. Now, there's 31 chapters. You know how I am. I start spending, you know, about 2 years on one verse, you know. That ain't going to happen here. So I'm going to actually restrict myself to try and do like a chapter each time. And that way, we should get through it. I say should. We should get through the book of Proverbs. And I think it's going to be a really valuable thing. And I'm really interested in those questions, especially about the many sides to wisdom as it relates to our calling in this age. We need to discover that. I'm really interested in that. And to think that God has chosen through the church that we would minister to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, I find that an amazing thought, that they will be listening to this. They're going to be listening to this. We're going to be attempting this, and our audience is not just you folks here. But there are principalities and powers who are also listening in on this. Now, you either believe it or you don't. It's up to you. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to be like, I had a friend in New Zealand who came to the Lord. This guy was just a massive man. When I say massive, I mean muscular. He was right up here, man. And when he's relaxed, he's walking around like a gorilla. You know what I'm saying? And he was a bouncer. He used to be a bouncer in one of these nightclubs. And no one sort of would mess with him. And he was like this. And he had a great many good things to say about practical wisdom. And it's a really exciting thing to see how God can change people. And I need to talk to him again. I lost contact with him over the years. But fine guy, and I think this kind of lesson is something that we all need. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this time that we've got together, Lord, and we can learn and come together on this great doctrine of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner and the manifold wisdom of God that we have got to share not only with other Christian people on this earth, but also the principalities and powers in heavenly places. We pray, Lord, for wisdom in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.